Blog Talk Radio.
Might as well put your hands together.
Praise the Lord on tonight. Yes, we are running a little bit late, but we thank God we are still here. Yes, you are now tuned in to Are You, it's personal. Are you a liability or an asset to the Kingdom of God Internet Radio Show? I am your host, Brother James Brown Jr., and we do come to you live from Hopper Woods, Michigan, each and every Thursday and every Saturday night from 8 until 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. On tonight, we have none other than Overseer Joseph E. Jackson out of Washington, D.C. is standing by and ready to deliver another word from the Lord on tonight. So please get your Bibles, your pens and paper ready to follow along as we get ready to hear another word from the Lord on tonight. I'm asking all listeners, if you will continue to pray for all those that are sick and afflicted all over the land, the bereaved. We don't have to send God anywhere because we know that he's already there. So what I'm going to do on tonight, a little bit different because we're running a little bit behind time. I'm just going to go through and I'm going to ask Overseer Jackson if he would do the opening prayer. And I'm not going to do a music break song on tonight. I'm not going to do a music break song because we're running a little behind on tonight. So I'm going to do things a little bit different on tonight. I'm going to do the spiritual food for thought. I'm going to ask Overseer Jackson if he would do the opening prayer, and if he would go right into the word after he do the opening prayer on tonight. Again, I'm not going to do a music break song. The spiritual food for thought comes to us saying on tonight, what will God say to you on Judgment Day? That's a good question. What will God say to you on Judgment Day? I do welcome all comments and feedback from all listeners. You can always email me at all lowercase, James_Brown1558@yahoo.com or on Facebook. Again, I note that I do not own the copyrights of any music or songs played on this worldwide ministry platform. That being said, Overseer Jackson, if you don't mind, would you please open up and us up with prayer, and then if you don't mind going directly into God's word.
Certainly will. Thank you, Brother James. We thank God tonight for his goodness, his mercy, and his kindness. Father, we thank you for your goodness, your mercy, and we bless you for all that you've done. You've kept us all week long. You've kept us with no hurt, no harm, no danger. You watched over us. You protected us, and for that we're grateful. We read on the news, rather, we listen to the news, and we see so many things going on in our country, guns everywhere. The winds are blowing and the homes are going down, God, and people are in all kind of a state of flux. But we're asking now in the name of Jesus that you would speak peace to the wind now, God. Any cyclone, any hurricane, anything that seems to come along that wants to destroy, we bind that madness now in the name of Jesus. Even as Jesus stood on the boat in the bow and said, peace, be still. We ask you to let that happen again right now. God, look on those that have lost everything. Give them a sense of hope. Don't let them become bitter behind what has gone down, but God, walk with them, be with them, help them, and get them through the crisis. Folks are killing themselves because of the things that are coming upon the face of the earth. You said that in the last days, Father, the hearts of men would fail them. And God, we ask you now, look on the folk and give them a sense of hope. You said, Father, that in the last days that the hearts of many would grow cold. God, help us in the name of Jesus. Be like Jeremiah again. Let the fire be stoked one more time. Let it well up in our soul and burn like fire once again, God. Help us. Spirit of the living God, have your way in the name of Jesus. We love you tonight. We praise and magnify and glorify your name. There is none like you. In all the earth, there's none like you. But God, we say to you, do something for this nation. Look on this nation. Guns are everywhere. Folks are dying for no reason at all. God, help now in the name of Jesus. Look on our young children, God, dying for no reason, going into a hellish grave because they have no Christ. Help them now in the name of Jesus. Look on us, look on us, look on us, look on us in the name of Jesus. Have mercy. Have mercy. Yes. Forgive us of our transgressions and forgive us of our sins. Look on this nation, God. Help us. We need leadership. We need leadership. Help the president. Bless him and keep him in good health. Let him go forward. God, all of those that are coming against the democracy of this country, we bind them now in the name of Jesus and ask you, God, to have your way. Spirit of the living God. Move now in our midst in the name of Jesus. We thank you. We praise and you honor you. If there's any sick among us, I need you to touch right now from the crown of the head to the sole of the feet. I need you to send deliverance right now. Set them free in the name of Jesus. Every mind that's bound, set it free in Jesus' name we pray. Hey, God, have mercy. In Jesus' name we pray and thank you. Now, Lord, let the anointing come forward. And we ask you, God, to be with me. Forgive any transgression, anything that would hinder. God's souls are at stake. And you said your word would not come back void. And so, God, I'm asking you to do for somebody what needs to be done. Somebody needs to hear a word. They need to know you care. Rosie Wallace said, God cares. Somebody needs to know that you needs to know that you care. Lord, help them. The Bible talked about silly women. I've seen so much stupid stuff on television, God. Our young girls are giving themselves for no purpose to people who have no goals, no ambitions. Lord, help them to remember themselves and keep them, Father, from these no accounts that would just take advantage of them. In Jesus' name we pray and we thank you. Amen. Brother James, you caught me. You caught me at the right time, brother. I'm telling you, because this week I've been in prayer. I've been in prayer. I've been with God this week because I'm seeing things that are happening And I'm just so concerned about what's going on around us. Folks better start looking and redeem the time because it's growing short. It's growing short. We can't play anymore. We can't play anymore. Too many of us have been playing church, and the time for church is over. You better be the church. Oh God, you better be the church. Let me go into the Word of God. Oh, you got me stirred up, man. The Bible said that the spirit is subject to the prophet. Now, God, you got to bring it in. You got to bring it in. You got to bring it in. Got to bring it in. Lord, help now in the name of Jesus. Listen, tonight I want to talk about something. I want to do something that a lot of people don't do, and that's teach. We've been preached to. We've been sung to. But we don't teach anymore, and that's the problem. That's why some of us are in such a mess we're in, because we don't know the Word. The Bible turned around and said, "Thy word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you." And in order to know the Word, you've got to read the Word. And when you read the Word, you've got to have somebody to kind of disciple it or decipher it for you. And too many people are just going, you look at Facebook and you see some of the stuff on Facebook, I just shudder. Where are these people getting this madness? Where are they getting it? Because nobody is taking the time to teach. The Bible said that God gave a fivefold ministry. He said that the first came the apostle, then the evangelist, then the prophet, and then the pastor. And the last one was the teacher. And unfortunately, we get too little teaching in church anymore. But I'm teaching tonight. I'm teaching. We're going to look at a familiar passage of Scripture, one that we all know, and we all have come to love deeply. And it's called the 23rd Psalm. The 23rd Psalm, and I'm not going to read it right now. I'm going to read it as I go along because I'm going to, we use the word exegete. It means to explain what is being said. But I want you to understand something about the Psalms, P-S-A-L-M. That's, if you got your pens and paper, you need to take it out because tonight is a teaching lesson, and these are some things that I'm going to dispel a lot of ignorance that I hear so many times when I go into churches and I hear people read from the Bible, and particularly from the book of Psalms. Now, first of all, you got to remember the Psalms is one book. It has no chapters. So please don't say I'm going to read the 23rd chapter of Psalms or I'm going to read the 150th chapter of Psalms. No, sir, there's no such thing. It's a book. It is one book. One book. It's the book of Psalms. You got to remember the Psalms, P-S-A-L-M-S, were sung. They were songs, S-O-N-G-S, that the Jewish community sang in their churches, just like we would sing, "Oh, Happy Day," or "Come Ye Disconsolate," or "I'm Running for My Life," or "I'm a Soldier in the Army of the Lord." They sang songs. And they would sing the 23rd Psalm. They just didn't say it. They sang it. The other thing that we want to dispel tonight is, for God's sake, please don't ever say again, I'm reading from the 150th division of Psalms. There are only five divisions. There are only five divisions. And the first division consists of Psalms 1 through 41. The second division is Psalm 42 to Psalm 72. The third division Psalm 73 to 89. And then the fourth division of Psalms is Psalm 90 through 106, and the fifth division is from 106 to 150. So there are five divisions. So if you ever are going to read from the book of Psalms, let's look at the first Psalm, okay? Or rather, since we're doing the 23rd Psalm, let's look at the 23rd. If somebody ever asks you to read from the 23rd Psalm, what you would get up and say is, I'm going to read from the first book of Psalms, Psalm 23. Or you would say, I'm going to read the 23rd Psalm. But you never say,
I'm going to read the 23rd division of Psalms. Let's get rid of that because you did wrong. And you know, it's embarrassing to go to places and hear people say that all the time simply because they didn't study and they don't know. You know now. You know now. There's a word called Selah, S-A-L-A-H, that you will find at the end of many of the psalms that were sung. Now, that word Selah has two meanings. It means that God has spoken. At the end of a sentence, when you see the word Selah, it simply means God has spoken. Or since it was a song, S-O-N-G-S, it means that whoever was singing the psalm, the psalmist would take a breath. He would breathe. He would pause there for a moment. So it also means to pause, to think about what was said before you saw the term Selah. It is not to be spoken. When you see it in the scripture, you do not read it. It is a silent word. Okay? You don't speak a sentence and say, John went down the street, comma, and he walked his dog. You don't do that. But you say, John went down the street, and you pause, and he walked his dog. Okay? Now you understand. There are five divisions of the book of Psalms, and the Psalms are songs that were sung by the Jewish community. And you understand now the word Selah. Okay, so now. All right, let's look at this. The title of the message tonight is a simple one. And I want to use this term, a shepherd reflects. A shepherd reflects. Now, one of the things we want to talk about is a shepherd. We live in the type of economic culture that doesn't deal with animals. So we don't quite understand the role of a shepherd because we don't see shepherds. But the Bible calls pastors angels, and he also calls them shepherds. You hear many times people talk about Jesus as being the good shepherd. And when you see him in many of the caricatures and pictures that they show of him, you see him sometimes sitting on a rock holding a lamb in his arms because he is the good shepherd. Well, now let's look at the author of this song. The author of the song is David. Now, David could talk about being a shepherd because he was a shepherd. And so when he went into the 23rd Psalm, he began to talk about what not only he did, but he began to tell you about what God does. And so when I read this, I get excited because I don't read it like most people read it. I read it with inflection. That's another thing that saints have to do. Learn how to look at the sentence and read it as you see it. When you see a comma, pause. If you see a question mark, let your voice act like you're asking a question. If you see an exclamation mark, it means to show that it's really pronounced. Act like you know what you're reading. I hate to hear somebody go, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He restoreth my soul." That means nothing. Take the time to read it as it was written. The Lord is my shepherd. There's a semicolon there. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. The rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Do you see how that flowed? You see how differently that read? When you hear it read like that, it becomes a part of you. The reality of what you're reading becomes to the front. Bless the name of God. So I just wanted to take the time to teach these things. Now, only a shepherd could write Psalm 23, and David was a shepherd. He said, the Lord is the shepherd of his people, and they are his sheep. So David said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want, because David knew what he was supposed to do, that he was the shepherd of the sheep. He recognized that the sheep were looking to him for comfort. The sheep were looking to him for guidance. The sheep were looking for him for protection. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. That ought to make somebody happy right then and there. You're going through a crisis. You're going through a trial. You're going through a tribulation. You're going through something that you don't know how you're going to come out of it. The Bible says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. What did David say? David turned around and said, I was once young, but now I'm old. But he said, I've seen so many things in life. But he said, the one thing I've never seen is the righteous forsaken, nor his seed or his children begging bread. I shall not want. Even if inflation hits the United States, God's going to make a way for me to meet my responsibilities. God's going to open the doors that I need to have him to open. God's going to make a way for me to pay the bills. God's going to let me sleep at night. I'm not going to want for anything. I shall not want. In Eastern lands, the shepherd goes before his flock. He leads them. They know his voice and follow him. So the sheep in this psalm, the flock of the Lord, are those who follow him. What you got to understand is something like this, and there's a whole lot packed up in this right now. A shepherd leads the flock. A pastor leads the flock. His responsibility is to watch for your soul. He's there to guard you. He's there to keep you. He's there to watch over you. He's there to chastise you if you need it. He's there to rebuke you when you need it. He's there to encourage you when you need it. Don't get upset when he does his job. He's looking out for you. You got to know something about sheep. The late Charles Stanley, and I'll never forget him for this, because I was worried about something one day, and I heard him say, a shepherd is a shepherd. Whether you've got one sheep or 1,000, you're still a shepherd. He said, take care of that one sheep until God gives you the 1,000. And he said, stop worrying about individuals who have 1,000 followers, because they got a whole lot of problems that you don't have. Bless God for the few that you got, and just do for them what needs to be done. Watch them. Feed them. Nourish them. Encourage them. The shepherd has that responsibility. You remember David. You remember David. David was, the other thing too is the shepherd sleeps with his sheep. Oh, he sleeps with them. He sleeps there because he's got to guard against the night prowlers. He's got to guard against those who would slip in and steal them if they could, that they would come in to eat them. You've got to remember that in the wilderness there are bears and lions and there are coyotes and there are dogs and other things that will come looking for a nice meal. Don't you realize that the Bible said in the last days that we were going to be inundated in the church by wolves who are coming in with sheep's clothing, people who say that they love God and know God, but all they want to do is to tear you apart. They've come to not feed the sheep, but they've come to fleece the sheep. What did Jesus tell Peter? Peter, do you love me? Peter said, yeah, Lord. And Jesus asked him a second time, Peter, do you love me? Peter got a little nervous at this time. He said, Lord, I told you. Yes, I do. The third time, Jesus said, Peter, do you love me? And Jesus, Peter got a little disturbed and said, now, look, you didn't ask me that three times. And I done told you I love you. And Jesus said, if you love me, Peter, feed my sheep. That's what we're supposed to do. Feed the sheep of God, not fleece them. You're not there to take their money. But if you take the money, then use the money for the glory and the honor of God. Do it the way God said it should be done. The one thing I learned about sheep is that when the shepherd, let me read it, and then I'll explain it even better. He says, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. The people that I was looking at when I was reading this, they were telling me the sheep are dumb animals. They don't act like they have a whole lot of sense. And so when it comes to drinking water, they don't go near a rushing tide area where there's rafters of water just going past. They don't go near that. And so they've got to come to a place that's placid, a place that's still. And it's up to the shepherd to take them and to find them that place where they can freely drink. They're grazers. They've got to have grass so the shepherd will take them out into distant areas to find the best grazing areas. And sometimes he hooks up with other shepherds who may have more sheep than he does. Maybe one has 50 and another one has maybe 150 and another one has maybe 3,000. And they all get together so that the sheep can eat. But the thing that's so unique about every shepherd is his sheep know his voice. And they do not go after another shepherd. He's been with them long enough that they know him when they hear him. Jesus said the same thing about his church. He said, my sheep know my voice, and another they will not follow. Who are you listening to? Are you blown by every wind and doctrine that comes along? Who are you listening to? My sheep know my voice. How do you know the voice of God? You've got a pastor. And your pastor is the one that leads you and guides you. Your pastor is the one that teaches you. What did Paul say? Follow me as I follow Christ. If I don't follow Christ, you find somebody else to follow. But my responsibility is to feed the flock of God. I'm there to teach you. Stop bucking everything the pastor tells you. Take the word for the word and deal with it. But the Bible says, the thing that I've learned was that the sheep, when the shepherd gets up to leave, he'll make a shout. And the sheep that belong to him will turn and stop grazing and follow him wherever he goes. One day, Jesus is going to make a shout. And when he shouts, I hope you're ready to get out of here when he comes. You want to be able to catch the last flight out. All right. And then he says something else that I like here. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. In other words, he says, when those rough days come, when I'm in a valley experience, I learn something that I could be on the mountaintop, but I learn more when I'm in the valley. because it's in the valley that I've got to depend on Jesus to help me through. The valley experience is the experience that takes me through trials and tribulations and tests. She says, but though I walk through the valley, I'm not going to stay there forever. I'm walking through the valley. And even if the shadow of death is overtaking me, I'm not going to fear because I know you're with me. Isn't it wonderful to know that God is with you? What did he say? I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'm with you always, even to the end of the earth. I miss one thing. He says he restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Because I'm who I am, I belong to him. My pastor told me years ago, always remember who you are and whose you are. And if you remember this, you will never do anything that will disgrace the God you serve. Remember who you are and whose you are. And God, no matter what you get involved in, will have to come to your rescue. Why? Because he proved it when he led the children of Israel out of Egypt, and they went into their backslidden condition. And God was getting ready to destroy them. But Moses stood up and said, if you kill them after you saved them from Egypt, the whole world knows about the plagues that you brought on Egypt. The whole world knows about the way you opened up the Red Sea so they could walk through. The whole world knows about how you closed the sea upon our enemies, and you told us that to stand still and see the salvation of God. You told us that the enemy that chased us would chase us no more. The whole world saw what you said you would do. When we had no food in the wilderness, you sent manna from heaven. And when we complained about that, you sent quail for us to eat. When we had no, when the waters were bitter, you had Moses do his thing, and the waters were drinkable. When we had no water, you told him to speak to the rock. He did something foolish and hit the rock. And because he hit the rock, he didn't see the promised land. But God, Moses told you that if you killed them in the wilderness, everybody around would say, oh, God was able to bring them out from under Pharaoh's hand, but he couldn't take them to the promised land that he promised. And God backed down and did what he had to do. Can you get the ear of God? Do you have God's ear? You remember Bartimaeus. You remember his friend. They were sitting by the roadside begging, and Jesus came along, and they asked what was the commotion, and they said, Jesus is in town, and Bartimaeus went to howling, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus, have mercy. Jesus, have mercy. And the folks said, man, be quiet. He don't want to hear you. But Bartimaeus howled out one more time, and Jesus caught it because Bartimaeus got a hold of Jesus' ear, and Jesus said, bring him to me. And when they brought him to Jesus, he did for them what had to be done. He gave them their sight. What you saying? He restores my soul. I've been through some trials. I've been through some tribulations. I've been through some heartaches. I've been through some times I didn't think I was going to make it, but he restored my soul. It's getting late. I gotta move on. Gotta move. I can't finish it the way I want to, but let me take one more scripture. And it says, he prepares a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil and my cup runneth over. Let me tell you something. Thank God for every enemy you got. Some of y'all ought to take them to lunch and tell them just say thank you. Don't get bitter behind what they've done to you. Because what they meant for evil, God turned it around for your good. If it had not been for them, you'd have never become who you are today.
If it had not been for the heartache they caused you, you would have never run to the throne of grace and fallen at Jesus' feet and said, Lord, help me. And you would have never gotten the help that God gave to you. The best way to overcome your enemies is to become a success. When they thought you were going to fail, you've succeeded. That's how you get over on them. And then don't try to get even with them. The Bible said, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. If you did anything to the least of them, you've done it to me. It's better that a millstone was tied around your neck than for you to hurt one of mine, the least of one of mine. God has a way of fixing things, because the Bible said, fret not thyself because of evildoers. And then he turned around and said that for they will soon be cut off. Turned around and said, don't be worried about those that set traps for you, because he said, when it came against me like a flood, they stumbled and fell. God will prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemy. Your enemies who thought you were going to fail would have to sit back and look at what God has brought you through and how he's blessed you. The ending part is simply one that everybody ought to love. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. When he says surely goodness and mercy, I look at that as being God's twin angels, goodness and mercy. They're following you, protecting you, and keeping you from hurt, harm, and danger. And you need that in these days and times. Because the Bible said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be before the Son of Man can come back, that the hearts of men are becoming more and more evil. You need somebody to cover you. You need somebody to protect you. And the Bible said, the angel of the Lord encamps round about me. Oh, God, thank you for your angels. I told God the other day, thank you for the angels you assigned to me, because they watched over me. In closing, I was coming from a dinner party one night, and I got off the subway, and I had to walk from the subway about two blocks to get to my car. And as I was walking home, the Spirit of the Lord said, turn around. And when I turned around, there were five young men coming up behind me quickly, because they had evil intent on their minds. But the Lord gave me to know how to get away from them. But when I went to get in my car, they showed up again. But the Lord gave me the wisdom and the wherewithal on how to deal with them, and they ran away. Why? Because goodness and mercy, God's twin angels, were with me. When you read the scripture, folks, read it with understanding. Put yourself in the scripture. God is my refuge and my strength, a very present help in my time of trouble. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Lift up your head, Joe, and let the King of Glory come in. Joe, do you know who the King of Glory is? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your head, son. Lift up your head. Put yourself in the scripture. I will look to the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord. God is my refuge and my strength, a very present help in trouble. Care what comes against me. I know what he told me in the 21st Psalm. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And if the earth belongs to him and I belong to him, he'll take care of me. Why? Because he's an able shepherd. But the only way that you can be part of that sheepfold is to come to him and ask him to forgive you of your sins. Otherwise, you're just out there. You may be a part of the family of man, but you're not a part of the family of God, and he's not your shepherd. Don't you die without it. We just had an Easter celebration. God took and allowed his son to take the penalty for your sin. If you are bad enough to put your middle finger in God's face and say you don't care about his sacrifice, you will damn yourself. Lord, look on your people. We thank you for your goodness and your mercy and your kindness. Have mercy today. And thank you for being the Savior of Saviors. Thank you for being the shepherd of my life. Thank you for your protection. Thank you for being with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Yes, man.
It's all yours, brother.
Amen. Thank you so much, Overseer Jackson, for that word. Listen, I like what you just said about taking your enemies to lunch and thanking them, because if it had not been for them, you wouldn't be what we are. And I'm living proof. Ooh, you said something right there. Now, I had never thought of it that way. You opened my eyes to something right there, and I'm sure you opened the eyes of many that have listened to this message on tonight, that about our enemies, sometimes God allows our enemies to come across our path to get us to the place where he wants us to be.
That's it.
We can give him glory through our lives. Had it not been for the enemy, we probably most likely would not be where we are today. So we just, like you said, bless them that curse us. Pray for them that despitefully use us. That's what the word of God said. It may not be easy, but with God, we can do all things through Christ. Just like Jesus
You have to remember that Joseph would have never been the vizier of Egypt if his brothers hadn't thrown him in the pit.
There you go. That's right.
If Potiphar's wife hadn't lied on him, he'd have never gone to jail.
Right.
And if he'd never gone to jail, he never would have met the cupbearer who would have gotten him into the presence of the king. Some things you have to go through. I'm going to preach that one day. It had to happen.
That's good. I like that too. Yeah, you definitely
got to
preach that one. I like that. That's good.
I'm going to preach that one. The Lord just reminded me of that. It had to happen.
It had to happen. You really opened my eyes, and I'm sure you open the eyes of the listeners every time you come forth with God's word. You are very unique, and God is definitely using you to be a blessing to the body of Christ. I want to say to the listeners on tonight, as well as what Overseer Jackson just said regarding Dr. Charles Stanley, he was one of my favorite pastors and ministers of the gospel that really knew how to break down God's word where you could get full understanding of the book.
Yes.
And I used to run home, and sometimes I would listen to him before I would go to church service. He'd come in, and sometimes he would come on late at night or early in the morning, 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning sometimes, and I would get a chance to turn the TV on and be blessed by how God used him to administer God's word to his people, and he breaks it down where you can get full understanding and clarity of God's word. But we want to pray for his family and his church family, the In Touch Ministry. That's a worldwide ministry that he was over. As we know, and for those of you all that don't know, Pastor Charles Stanley made his heavenly transition this week. He was a faithful man of God. He was true to his calling in ministry, and he loved God, and he loved God's people, and he loved delivering the God's word. And I just thank God for his memory. Thank God for, even though I never met him personally, it seems like I did. I thank God for allowing our paths to cross, even through the television. He was a unique man of God, and thank God that he has made his heavenly transition. He's now resting in the arms of the Lord Jesus. And so we not only want to thank God for Dr. Charles Stanley's loving memory and spirit and the works of his hands on earth that gave God glory, honor, and praise through his life, we want to thank God for allowing our sister in Christ, Tara Doss, who was in the hospital. She is on the line. She is now home from the hospital. Thank God for you, Sister Tara Doss, for dialing in. I'm giving it to open the phone lines right now for those of you that have dialed in. And if you was blessed by this word from Overseer Jackson, like I was on tonight, even though we know that we have a lot of people that do dial in and they don't say anything, but we thank God for you as well. So right now the phone lines are open for anyone that have dialed in. If you have a question for Overseer Jackson regarding tonight's message, or if you just want to give him words of encouragement, the phone lines are open.
giving honor to God, who is truly indeed the head of my life. I really want to thank you, Brother Brown, for having this powerful man of God on your radio show. He has been a blessing in my life. And whenever you do, it had to happen. Can you do that Facebook Live? Because I definitely want to see that. I want to hear it. And I thank you for saying that message that, you know, your enemies will bless you. That right there is enough for me. And I thank God for you because you are an inspiration. You and Brother Brown are inspiration to me. So keep on keeping on doing what you're doing. And I greatly appreciate God choosing you to be a part of his kingdom.
Thank you so much, sweetie. Sometimes you need to hear a word of encouragement. Thank you so much. I appreciate you.
You're right. You're right, Overton. And that's what the word of God says. We need to learn how to encourage one another in God's word. And sometimes if you can't do that, learn how to encourage yourself in God's word. But you can't encourage yourself in God's word. If you don't know God's word, you can't encourage yourself in his word.
Yeah.
So you got to belong to him. You got to have a personal relationship with him in order to encourage yourself in the word of God. So right now, I see that the phone lines are still open. Anyone else? People are still dialing in. We thank God for everyone, even those of you who have just dialed in. You missed a powerful word from Overseer Jackson on tonight. His message title was The Role of a Shepherd. And then I want to tie that in to the spiritual food for thought that we just gave you all on tonight. The spiritual food for thought is personal. What will God say to you on judgment day? Again, tonight's spiritual food for thought, it is personal. What will God say to you on judgment day? Overseer Jackson, thank you for this powerful word on tonight, the role of a shepherd. For you that have just dialed in and you missed it, go back to the website and pull it up and listen to it from the beginning, and you will truly be blessed by what God gave to him to deliver to his people on tonight. I was truly blessed and encouraged by this word on tonight. We see that our sister in Christ, a woman walking just dialed in from historic St. James. We thank God for you, Sister Gwen Walker. I know you just dialed in, but go back and pull up tonight's show. You will definitely be blessed by Overseer Joseph E. Jackson. Anyone else?
I truly have been blessed by the word of God. I pray that you continue to go on and do the will of God. Thank you very much. I enjoyed the message.
Thank you, sweetheart. Thank you so much.
Amen. That's Sister Etty Tut from Greensboro, North Carolina.
Yes, good evening, good evening, good evening. I am so sorry I missed my message tonight. I'm definitely going to have to go back and listen to the role of a shepherd because we definitely need to know what the man of God is supposed to be doing while he's up there in that pulpit every Sunday morning.
All right.
Amen. Yes, indeed.
God bless you, Overseer Jackson.
Thank you, sweetie. You be blessed, too. Be safe.
Thank you so much, Mr.
Graham, from historic St. James. Definitely go back and pull up tonight's message and listen to it from the beginning to the end. You will definitely be blessed and encouraged by this message on tonight, Sister Graham. That being said, we get ready to close out for tonight. This coming Saturday night, Pastor Norman King from Greensboro, North Carolina, will be delivering part two of his message on this coming Saturday night. You want to tune in and be blessed by part two of his message on this coming Saturday night. We're not going to do a closing prayer. We're just going to go ahead and close on out because Overseer Jackson, he has delivered this word on, and we want to resonate on that word on tonight. Overseer Jackson, you continue to be the man of God that he called you to be, and we want to continue once again to keep the family of the Dr. Charles Stanley from In Touch Ministries. We want to keep his family and that ministry family in our prayers as he has made his heavenly transition on this week. He is now resting in the arms of the Lord. And we know that his labor on earth was not in vain. He did a job well done, Dr. Charles Stanley. That being said, we're going to pull out tonight. Know that I love you, but guess what? Know that God loves you even more. Encourage one another in God's word. Good night.